heuristics that are not necessarily well informed or grounded in what we know about quality and how the internet works and how recommendation systems work, how a search engine works. For instance, the problem of biases, right, of all these new mechanisms is hugely important, but of course not even adults would know about it. Like, it's a totally complex topic, but an important one. So there are challenges with kind of these more implicit strategies. The opportunity, of course, is that it's because there are strategies emerging, that this is a great starting point for conversations about some of the challenges. It's good for parents, for peers, for also schools and teachers to talk about these online experiences and ask hard questions. So how would you know that your Facebook friend is saying the truth? And why would you read only the piece friends are referring to and not go a step further and click through various links and visit different sources if you write a paper for school or something like that? So, you know, it's a great starting point for conversations. And that's, I think, the big opportunity to create teaching modules, to think about curriculum development. Momin may talk a little bit more about that. That's kind of the practical side of the study we've tried to draft you.
Great, and we'll pull him in a second. I wonder if there's anything else in the main findings I can provoke you on, so that we. I have a ton of other questions, but yeah. I definitely want to hit those points too. If there's anything specific.
So my biggest point, and I'm glad that I have a chance to address that, is really, while we're presenting a literature review here, I think we've done something, we've tried to make a conceptual contribution, which has much to do with this shift from a paper world to a digital world. We already discussed there are shifts in the ways information is produced, disseminated, accessed, and also creatively reused. That looks very different today than obviously in the world of the newspapers and TV with relatively passive consumers. And the research perspective, however, has not necessarily adjusted to this paradigm shift that we've seen in the ecosystem as far as information quality is concerned. So you see, even in today's research, a lot of discussion about credibility of information. But credibility has a particular connotation and is based on certain assumptions, which are essentially these old assumptions that the editorial choices are made somewhere in the top floors of media houses and enterprises in New York City, right? But the term information quality that we use tries to reframe this debate and say, okay, it's no longer only about the credibility of, so to speak, the information product you're confronted with, but it's an entire process, an entire experience of quality that matters, which includes how do I find information, the search and browsing and recommendation aspects that we just discussed. Then, of course, the evaluation part, how do I make judgments about it, where we see it's highly contextual. It's also heavily based on your information needs and many kind of subjective factors. And then also what you do with the content, because what you do with content may later on shape your notion of quality and the notion of your needs. So we move in a way from this credibility perspective that is much more focused on a product that is kind of assumed to be there, to this process process perspective that is much richer but also more complicated. And I think that's the key contribution of this paper, that we try to map the rich research that exists and the various studies conducted by a group of scholars and wonderful researchers and colleagues of us on this new template, on this new map of the information quality landscape.
It really does feel like a new template of how people are figuring out the facts of whatever they're interested in, because it has been something where there have been fewer